Hi everybody, it's me, the Reverend Godfather. I'm trying to do something different. I am both, I'm recording this episode, to see how well it responds on YouTube, but more on kind of YouTube, later, in regards to everything. Last night I tried to record, episode after work, but it was about this time last night. I was, balls to the wall, tired. I looked it, I felt it. Now I'm not so tired. I'm kind of refreshed. It's still, in essence, a day later, but I feel much better and refreshed. So I'm going to redo this. Hopefully there'll be less rambling. The episode will probably be a bit shorter than it was in my initial recording last night. Again, one of the other reasons why I'm recording this is because I think I might have said a few things wrongly, or wrong, so hopefully I'll be able to better explain myself and explain things that I want to convey. One of the things tonight, or in this episode, one of the reasons why I'm doing it like this as a solo episode instead of a space, I'll probably cover a lot of the topics, or at least one of the topics, with at least Big Candy, hopefully, be in studio recording this with us in that episode. To get her opinion and Big Candy's opinion on it as well. But I wanted to do a creepypasta for this upcoming episode, but I decided against it because a few things came up and a few things were going on. I want to update you in regards to at least one of those topics, and share with you my thoughts on the other topic. And the first topic is the whole aspect of this past Thursday, I believe it was today, as of this recording, it's the 15th, so it was on the 13th, Thursday, April 13th, 2017, Nintendo sent out a press release in regards to discontinuing the Nintendo Classic. And everybody who saw this article went pretty much ape crazy. But there was a lot of speculation as to why. I have one of the articles on my iPod right here. We'll kind of cover some of the topics that are listed here as to what they said. The article is from Business Insider. But one of the things that, the main thing Apple, I am sorry, we'll be probably covering that, and I'll write in our show notes, which I have over there. But one of the things that Nintendo has stated was that this was initially to be a limited run. Not so much a limited as to limited to 5,000 or 10,000 devices, but for a limited time. Kind of like how a good many of you out there have seen bottles of Crystal Pepsi over the summer and this past March into early April. Meaning that this past fall, when you saw the bottles of Crystal Pepsis in stores, it was just for a limited time, kind of to test the waters to see if it was a success and people were buying it. People were buying it in bulk, enjoying Crystal Pepsi. Even myself has did so several times. Obviously, it was a success for Pepsi, and they brought it back for another 2-3 weeks in March, late February or March. I don't know if it was still considered a success, but either way, if they do it once or twice a year, good for Pepsi. I will be buying Crystal Pepsi every now and again when they do have it in stock, but that we're not talking about Pepsi right now. We are talking about Nintendo. But Pepsi, Crystal Pepsi, was in essence an example of limited time. Other examples are how McDonald's tends to do the Shamrock Shake or the McRib or certain promotions like that. Those are examples for a little limited time. But obviously, stuff like Crystal Pepsi and the McRib and the Shamrock Shake, or depending on what region you're in, if there's something holiday-esque, like the infamous Red Cup fiasco with Starbucks. But there's enough for everybody, meaning that if you walked into McDonald's, they might run out of Shamrock Shake mix that particular day, but if you wait 3 or 4 days, good chance they'll get a new supply in, and you're able to enjoy the Shamrock Shake, or the McRib, or so forth and so on. But what Nintendo tended to do is, well, like they said, this was they said it was a limited time thing, meant it was probably geared for the holidays, meaning roughly November when it was released, November 5th, to roughly maybe December 31st, maybe January 15th. But what they stated was in their initial report was because it was a limited time release, that due to public demand, they extended it to now until April, and the last shipments were sent out. But a lot of fans have stated where Nintendo went wrong was the fact, instead of letting people making enough so everybody could that wanted one, myself included, and many big YouTubers, the average Jane or John Doe on the street that wanted one, they could have got, in essence, got one, meaning that they should have had a constant 25, 30 in stores until they were, in essence, sold out. And even after the runs were over, said and done with, they could have either A, shipped them back at a certain time, meaning, okay, it's April 30th, time to send out back all the extra classics, and we will reimburse you the store for whatever the wholesale cost was, or just let you sell them out. But no, since they were since the Nintendo NES's release back in roughly mid-November, which is I think November 11th, they were sending no more. I think some reports were saying that the GameStops were getting no more than 3 to 5. Best Buys were getting roughly about the same number, and about the same number for Targets. And those were pretty much the only stores that were getting them. Not sure about Amazon. I think they were getting only a limited run or a limited number of classics. The same thing was going on with Walmart, but I don't think Walmart in any capacity. Because a lot of reports that were coming through my end and that I was hearing through sources never once mentioned Walmart themselves selling it. The reports I was getting about Walmart selling them was through a secondary party that was, in essence, scalping them. And to those who out there who do not or is unfamiliar with the term scalping, it's commonly referred in the sporting events or concert venues or events such as that, where people buy tickets in bulk for, let's say, $15-$20 and go sell those tickets right at the venue for the last minute people, because these events get sold out for, instead of what they paid for them, where a $20 ticket becomes $200 and they make up their money back. Many places, sporting events do not like scalpers. Many performers don't like scalpers because even though the seats are paid for, it's kind of sketchy. And a lot of people in the gaming market, or the hobby market, I should say, don't like scalpers either, because we do get our fair share of these individuals that buy the limited runs or the limited stock that a store might have, and turns around to sell that supply for double, triple, and quadruple the price. Can they do that? Yes, they can. It's kind of their right, but is it ethical or morally right? Most people would probably say no. But it's done. Does Nintendo care? Because no, they don't. Because in essence, they're getting their money. Is Best Buy, Target, or GameStop caring either way? No, they're not. Because they're getting their money. I mean, these the Nintendo Classics are being sold via their stores. So they once they're sold, they don't care what the customer does with them after that. But what the what I'm also hearing is a lot from the diehard retro gamers that they're the ones that are being the most outspoken. Little do some of these people realize, but continuing about the diehard collectors and diehard fans. What Nintendo should have done was once they heard that demand was there, instead of just increasing the extending the limited time release until the end of April, they should have seriously, since November, during the holiday season, increased productions. Doubled, if not tripled, productions. Made sure that places like Target Buy had dozens, if not, or I should say, several dozens of these consoles in on hand to sell to people. A lot of people are saying, especially in the article, that they stopped the run. One group, there's like roughly, I'm going to put them in two separate categories. One group is saying it's interfering. If they left the Classic in production, it would be taking away from the Switch. That's bad logic in reference to production of the Switch, because they were probably making the Switch months, if not weeks prior to the release of the Switch. So therefore, while they were making the Classic, they were also making the Switch. So therefore, that logic is blown out of the water anyway. Some people have said that the reason for the I'll correct myself, three groups of people. Some were saying that it'll take away from the hype from the Switch. Again, this statement is proven wrong because the Switch is selling out like crazy. So, and it's has been a very successful launch. So, therefore, that's in essence, in my eyes, bunked. Another kind of theory states is that they kind of meaning Nintendo will be bringing out either a Game Boy Classic that you could hook up to your TV that plays kind of the retro Game Boy, maybe some Game Boy Advance games or some Game Boy Color games for your TV, or a Super Nintendo Classic, which I can understand if they have the same company. Either in China, probably in China, that makes these things, doing that. They could have easily, Nintendo, a lot of the article, the Business Insider, I'm going to pull it up so we could go down through their list. One of the things that they stated in the list is that, sales are down. For the exception of Super Mario Maker, they're not. They were making, they would have made millions of dollars off of this. Nintendo Classic, from reactions of people wanting one, if they kept production up, they definitely would have made their money back. If not, they were making profit off this anyway, because there are several other devices out there that I won't say are similar, but are in a similar category to the NES Classic. One is the Atari Flashback, which I think it's in its fifth iteration, and you have the Sega Genesis Flashback type ordeals that are out there, which might be in their second or third iteration, which is... granted, Atari Flashback and the Sega ordeal, plus the little handheld arcade things that you could buy, they're roughly between $15 to $20 or $10 to $20. The reason why this was so much is because it's an official release. Therefore, it would have means that you had better quality sound, the software was legit, and everything was made sure it played nice and smoothly. You had better options, and everything there to make you, the consumer, very happy, and made sure everything was nice and pretty. So, and a lot of people, and let's see here, they said it was a, creating a collector's item. In essence, if they decide not to do this, or make another run of it, because I've also heard rumors that they will have a version 2 coming out this, possible this Christmas, that you're able to put cartridges in, which would be nice, you know, which, speaking, it's a collector's edition now, because Nintendo made it a collector's edition, because they'd stopped, they made it such limited quantities each run, or I should say each production, instead of making 50, 60,000 each run, they only made maybe 25,000 and decided to get things out that way. And Nintendo has a history of, pulling crap like this. They own the brand Amiibo, or they have ties with the Amiibo brand, and what they tend to do is, the same crap, pretty much the same crap that they're doing or did with the Nintendo Classic, which was, okay, we're going to put out a limited run of this particular figure, wait a little while, let the scalpers have their fun and get their fill, then make a whole crap ton more so everybody else can get that particular figure or that particular amiibo. It's not right, the fans don't like it, and it seems like they're doing something similar with the Nintendo Switch, even though many people are buying the Switch, it's being sold out as soon as the stores like Best Buy, Target, Walmart are getting them in, they're selling completely out, and scalpers are kind of having their field day for right now. Some people have said, oh, well, Nintendo has the 30 games on their Wii Store that you could buy for $2 to probably on up. Well, most people don't want to really spend $300 to $400 for a new brand new console just to pick up another, on the low end, $60 worth of games, and then, you know, $60 on up for a bunch of games. They're not going to like that. It's, no, they're not. The Nintendo Classic was for the not just the people with nostalgia that want to play those games. It was something for everybody. Kind of like the Atari Flashbacks, the little handheld arcade games, the Sega Genesis Flashbacks. Same thing. It's not just the nostalgia aspect. It's the aspect of a person on a budget is able to go into a store, pick up something between $20 and, in this case, $60, which is a very reasonable price for the amount of games installed and the quality of the system being built. and what and just walk away. They worry about the $400 for a new console, $60 for one particular game. They're paying between $20 to $60. That's it, if the Nintendo Classic was still being produced and sold. And go home and enjoy themselves. And be, in essence, a retro gamer instead of a modern-day gamer or a mobile gamer. And the article, we kind of covered the reference to the Switch and how it's out. And now, there is, for every person that would have bought the Switch, they probably would have bought the NES Classic as well. So there's that. So that particular argument is pretty much out of it. Is Nintendo extremely protective? Point four that Business Insider was making is Nintendo extremely protective of classic games. Yes, they are, but you have to figure it's putting out their own games on their own reproduced console. So, therefore, they still would have made money since they own Duck Hunt, they own Super Mario Brothers, they own Zelda. Therefore, they're still making money off these particular games, whether they're sold, in essence, for $2 a piece on this classic, or they're sold for $5 on the Switch, or the Wii U, or the Nintendo Wii, whatever it was. And kind of the last one, the Nintendo wants to sell you Nintendo Classic games on the Switch. They're going to do that anyway. Because for every person who might not have bought the Nintendo Classic, probably would have bought one or two games on the Switch. But that's not the point. I've had people tell me, well, I could go out and get a RetroPie, a Raspberry Pi. For those who think I'm talking about, because I am a fat boy, that I'm talking an actual Pi. No, there is a device out there that they call it a Raspberry Pi. Raspberry is spelled normally, but Pi is spelled P-I, and it's a small little, I want to say a stripped-down computer that kind of fits in the size of your hand. You're able to connect it to your TV. It's just basic computer functions. That's all it is, and these devices cost between, I saw a few being sold like on eBay for $15, $16, and they tend to go up to roughly $100, but I saw one person mention that you could get a few good ones or decent ones for about $70 up to close to $100. You have to figure, let's see, the people that are buying these Raspberry Pis are not your people that are going to be buying, the people that are going to, let me rephrase that, the people that are going to be buying the classics or would have bought the classics are not the people that are going to buy or know about the Raspberry Pis. Not to mention, if the Raspberry Pi has to be put together, they're not going to know how to put it together. They're not going to care. They won't, some cases they won't give a damn. It's work. They rather have it wham bam thank you ma'am and plug it into the TV, plug it into the outlet, plug in the controller, and go. Then they don't want to make it. And I had one person tell me, well, there are ways you can make your own Nintendo Classic. Well, again, if you're not technical, not capable of doing that yourself, even with watching a YouTube video, or let me use this example. You can, in essence, build your own Roomba, which is those automatic vacuum things, robot vacuums. Or you could buy one ready to go to plug in and let it do its thing. Most people who don't have the time, effort, or money to build their own or have someone build it for them, they buy one pre-made, they plug it in, let it, and that's what the pre-mades are for. That's what the average consumer wants. That's what the classic Nintendo Classic is. It's for the average everyday person or the casual retro gamer that doesn't have the time, effort, or funds to go out and do their own digging for emulators, so forth and so on, or they don't have the money to buy cartridges, collector's cartridges, and so on. So that's what this, the flashbacks and the classic is for. But in regards to Raspberry Pi, they said I could emulators on it and hook it up to my TV. Not to mention there are emulators and browsers and browser gameplay. The thing is, as we discussed before, Nintendo and sometimes Sega and a lot of these other companies out there that own these software titles, they don't like the ROMs. They literally they having a ROM is like the first Super Mario Brothers or the Super Mario Brothers 2 ROM. Unless you own the cartridge, Nintendo doesn't want you to have it. They consider it copyright infringement. So, but there are few cases where some companies have embraced ROMs because there are people out there that are able to hack these and manipulate the data, so they're a little bit better. There's less bugs in the game. I'm familiar with one particular sports game. I think it's NBA Live. They update it every year, the ROM every year, to have new rosters, new teams, team renames, and so forth and so on, which is good. I'm not complaining about that. If the company says, you know what, have fun, deal with it, go ahead, have fun. I'm not going to, and if they're cool with it, you know, so what? I'm cool with it too. So, but there's a lot of sketchy sites out there for ROMs. I'm sure of it. Especially with the ROM emulators. So a lot of people might not know which ones are the good ones or which ones are the bad ones. And with a lot of these newer people coming in that might be curious about getting these ROMs, visiting a message board to inquire, they might be pushed away from, not so much the ROMs, but pushed away from the message boards because the people that are on these boards might not like new people, the fresh blood. They might figure that they're stepping on territory that shouldn't be, meaning that they might feel the person that's looking for because they want to get back into the retro market, not so much the retro market, but they want to play the old games, that they're in territory that they shouldn't be at. That's fine and dandy if you want to play with, get the ROMs at your own risk. I'm not going to really stop in reference to that. I'm one of the few people that feels that way. I'm not going to stop you, but I'm not into that. And a lot of people have to figure, too, with something like the Sega Genesis Flashback and the Atari Flashback and the Nintendo Classic are great for people that do not have internet at their house. Granted, we are living in a culture where you could go to McDonald's and have Wi-Fi, you could have Wi-Fi at the local coffee shop, the local library, or Walmart, or places of the ilk, and probably, download these emulators on your phone, but you can't, you'll look kind of goofy, at Walmart, setting up a desktop to computer to access their Wi-Fi to download these ROMs. Granted, you could set up a laptop at a coffee shop and do the same, but, you know, you kind of look a little weird doing it. And playing on a mobile phone is kind of goofy, like for some of the old NES games or maybe a Sonic the Hedgehog game. But another person brought up, I'm going to see if I can snag it real quick, is these multi-cart consoles. I shared the post last night. I'm going to back out so I could have an accurate name for the thing. Let's see, bring it up here. Back. No. That. There. Posted it up last night when I left work. Has to access it. They called it, let's see. They just said the 12-in-1. It's called the Retro Freak. It does play emulated games, but you have to find them. There's no guaranteed the ROMs that you might find or the emulated games you find will work on the system. It plays the NES, NES, Genesis, Mega Drive, and Game Boy games on your TV. But the thing is, with a system like that, it might cost anywhere between $50 on up. I know I have an NES Classic console sitting here that I picked up at a retro gaming shop. Same thing with my SNES. And both things work. They work great. They were refurbished, so the pins are not off, and they're nice and snug. But the thing is, I'm going to show you this. This, for those at home listening to this on the podcast, I'm holding up a Super Game Boy. This was that came out for the Super Nintendo to allow you to play Game Boy games on your Super Nintendo. This particular device cost me, I'll show to the $10. That I have sitting on my shelf. I wish I had. I don't want to offset my table. I should have brought it with me. Ninja Gaiden 2. That cost me $10. There are games out there that cost about $5, $2 to $5. Let's go with $5. They cost roughly $5. There are games out there that cost $10. There are games that are out there that are cost, like Zelda, the first Zelda, and Zelda 2, cost roughly $20 to $30, respectively. There's a SNES game called Earthbound. I've heard reports that that particular game costs roughly between $250 to $800, depending on the vendor or store you go to. There is reports of from what I've heard, one of the rarest games that you could buy on the market, if you could find it, is called Stadium Events, and that particular game could cost between $10,000. That's right, I said $10,000 to $15,000, depending on what's included and its condition. That's for something, for the folks watching on YouTube, like this, or for the folks at home, a cartridge that you could put in your console and play. The thing is, with the Super Nintendo, you don't have to worry about, oh, I want to play Nintendo. I have the Classic. Turn it on. I'm in the mood for Zelda. You choose Zelda, you're playing Zelda for the next 15-20 minutes or hour. You don't have to worry about going down to your local retro gaming shop, buying a classic NES system or a Super NES system and for $50 and shelling another $15, $20, $30 on games, when you could just spend $60, get 30 games and one particular system. That's who this was for. It was a casual person like myself. Other people have said, well, you know, I could mod, I do this on my computer, I like playing games on my computer, but the thing is, this system was not made for the diehard fan. It was not made for the person who goes out, gets emulators, goes out, and does all that fun jazz. It's for the average Jane and John Doe. It's for the average person. It's for the casual retro gamer like myself that's on a super budget, low budget, that might be able to scrounge out $60, get this NES Classic, and plug it into my TV and go and have some fun and enjoy the nostalgia sauce. But some people have said, well, yeah, one thing's for sure, a lot of people have agreed upon, is that Nintendo somehow doesn't like or listen to its fans. That has been a history amongst a lot of people, from YouTubers, fans, and everybody else, that Nintendo doesn't really give a rat about their fan base as long as they're bringing in money. But the thing is, the stockholders, when they see the stock is going to go, whether or not the fans are buying the Switch or not, or they're furious over the discontinuation of this retro console, it's not going to go down. This is not going to be like the United Airlines incident where the stock is going to go down and Nintendo's going to go, oh, we screwed up, we're sorry, let's make, you know, another 150, 200 units to make sure everybody gets one. Because we screwed up, our stock is, instead of going up and up, it's going down and down. But because of the success of the limited run, the stockholders are going to say, hey, this was a success. Let's buy more stock. And Nintendo is doing stuff right with Zelda Breath of the Wild and the Nintendo Switch. So, therefore, miles off. That's that. Now, YouTube phenomena and the whole debacle, that's still going on. From our last recording, pardon me for a second, drink of Pepsi. No, we're not Pepsi, but I am. Pepsi, if you do want to endorse this podcast, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and I'm sure we got a very cheap deal. But either way, what I've been hearing is that a lot of YouTubers, the high-end YouTubers, are making, instead of making 190% on, or even 75% on their videos now, it's now closer to 15 to 35%. Some of the, from what I heard, there might be at least one I heard of. It was a small YouTube channel that YouTube didn't like what they were saying. They took them down because they were predominantly SJW, anti-SJW or social justice warrior channel. So took them down. Recently, I found out that TJ, TKJ or TJ, he's formerly this amazing atheist. He was stripped of his channel, stripped of Amazing Atheist title, because according to him, YouTube did not like the word atheist at all, so therefore he's now going by TJK. For those who are subscribed to him, he has been saying pretty much that he's been restricted to what he can say, how he can say it, because of a lot of the YouTube guidelines. And pretty much what he's saying is being echoed by a lot of other YouTubers out there. And this has been going, I think we mentioned this back when Sasha was on the show, We mentioned it at our last Hostful, but in recent years, back to 10, 15 years ago, YouTube favored the short form video, which was maybe about 2 to 5 minutes. Now it's favoring videos that are more, or I should say longer, which are the videos that are 10 to 15 or longer videos. But that's not the case now. While they increased, they wanted the longer videos, they wanted more, which means content in the same creators like The Amazing Atheist or TJ or Alpha Omega Sin, who is a retro gamer commentator, or Angry Joe. Instead of them putting out one video a week or one video a month, now kind of YouTube is forcing them to put out videos almost daily. So some YouTubers like Ill Will Press, who showed a big success a good many years ago with his Foamy the Squirrel animations, now it's because of how YouTube views the content with longer content, he has to post up bits and pieces of his Twitch stream that he has, which kind of is wrong. I don't think it's right or fair, but what YouTube is kind of doing is like they want to push the content creators that made them famous to the side in favor of people like Ellen DeGeneres, The View, The Late Show with Jimmy Fallon, CNN, Fox News, the channels, and the people that are able to actually have that constant content and that constant 10-minute videos that people could, quote-unquote, enjoy. And one of the other things that people have stated that are creators that they don't like is the fact that, see if I'm remembering correctly, is the fact that they can't talk about certain things, or the fact that the monetization of certain videos they can't do. Meaning, with certain, like, I think it was last week, or the week before, when all this Syria gas attacks were happening, yes, they're bad, and we as a country don't condone that action, YouTubers that were talking about it got quickly demonetized. And yet, channels like CNN and Fox News, they could stay monetized. Like saying, it was like YouTube saying, you as a person can't talk about this. You're not allowed to talk about this. You're an average person. You can't talk about that. You're not allowed to talk about that. But us adults, like those at CNN and Fox News, could talk about that. And that's what me and Sasha were kind of leading into, and what me and Big Candy kind of led into last week, in regards to the whole one side versus the other, where YouTube wants to push one side out, but let another side in. And what I misspoke last night, or didn't word it properly, is that there's this old parable that has been floating around Facebook every now and again, and floated around in various circles, that says, when they came for the violent ones, granted, I'm paraphrasing, when they came for the violent ones, I didn't say a word. When they came for the doctors, I didn't say a word. When they came for the priests and the peacemakers, I didn't say a word. When they came for my friends and neighbors, I didn't say a word. Now, they're coming for me. and no one is saying a word. And YouTube is kind of doing that, meaning they're pushing certain YouTubers out, or the smaller channels out. I might go into it with a Big Candy a little bit in reference to new media versus old media, where we here at the show, meaning podcasters and YouTubers, are considered new media, and old media like the Wall Street Journal, NBC, CBS, and The Ilk don't like the aspect of YouTube, Netflix, and podcasting, because we're new media, we're the new guys. And history has shown us in the past that when newspapers, when kind of like records first, or the first recordings were coming out, records didn't like that. Or I should say newspapers didn't like that. And they tried, it's new media, we don't like this, pushing them out. When TV, when radio came, records and newspaper and books didn't like that. People would put that stuff out, didn't like that. So they tried to bash, you know, radio. And when TV came out, it was radio's turn to get on the act, kind of push, you know, hey, we don't like this, you know, then everybody's going to stop listening to us. And it's the whole rhetoric that came before. Same thing with movies, and now it's the time of YouTube and podcasts, that we're new media, and old media don't like us, and it's kind of, you kind of see that with the attacks on YouTube and PewDiePie, and you pick somebody, but I think personally, and I'll discuss it with Big Candy when we have him on the show, and hopefully with Zombie Bunny being there, she'll give her a few cents in too, to what she thinks, that podcasts are kind of safe right now, because we have been under the radar for a long time. But with YouTube, we hope things get better way sooner than most people think, because it is hitting a lot of people hard. YouTube has recently told everybody that if you want to be a content creator on YouTube now, you need a total of 10,000 lifetime views to be a partner, which kind of sucks for someone trying to be a YouTube creator and partner on YouTube, because someone like the show, where we put up a few videos every so often, we're not going to see that, or we won't see that for a very, very long time. Yet, someone like Ellen, I don't have anything against Ellen. She's a wonderful comedian, wonderful person. But someone like her, or someone who is a celebrity who wants to start up a YouTube channel, they could get those views instantaneously. Or a show like Supergirl, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if they're doing a promo stuff, they could get 10,000 views within a few days or hours. We recently, or as of this recording, Star Wars Celebration just is happening in Orlando. They could put up their panels, video portions of their panels, and get 10,000 views instantly. Where YouTubers like myself, podcasters who want to share videos of unboxings and so forth and so on, or maybe skits on YouTube, we're not going to see that. It might take us months, years even, before we see 5,000 views. But I will say this, there is good news. Our show has been approved for AdSense, which means we will be getting at least a couple of nickels on what we do monetize. We won't be seeing the big, quote-unquote, big bucks, or have videos placed on our ads, or video ads on our show when they do, if they come back. So that, in a way, that's a good thing, that we will be getting some fundage on our videos, but it won't be much. So let's see, what else? That's about it. Oh, look. Let me pause so I can get the information for a second. Okay, I'm back. Because I don't want to talk about YouTube anymore. I've said all I could about it. I'll try to keep you guys up to date in reference to what's going on with YouTube. Or if any big changes go on, I'll keep you guys updated. Either through Facebook Live or through our Hostfuls. But for now, how about some good stuff? Instead of Nintendo Classic being gone, me ranting and raving about that. You'll catch us on April 29th for a little while at the Chocolate Fest. We won't have a booth set up there, but we might be helping record the event with Earl. We have an invite to the show from Don Ramirez, who's going to be helping Earl. So, good chance we'll be there in some capacity, helping Earl out. And probably promoting the show. And despite our disagreements with the library, we will have a booth at their pop culture show here in Martinsburg, West Virginia, on June the 3rd. So, to promote the show, we invited Matt Burns to... And if Matt, if you're listening, yes, the invite still holds. If you want to come on down and help promote your show, which is September 9th and 10th, you're more than welcome to do so. You've always kept always helped us out, so why not help you out as well? But even still, even if you didn't help us out, you're always holding a great show, so that's what we'll do. We'll help you out that way. It doesn't seem like you're trying to hide promoting the show. Not saying you haven't done that in the past, but still. After the June 3rd, the next event that we will be at will be at Matt's show, which is the Four State Comic Con 2 this September 9th and 10th. At Hager Hall in Hagerstown, Maryland. The address is Hager Hall is 901 Dual Highway, Hagerstown, Maryland. There's going to be a few guests there. There's going to be David Nikhil. He's pretty much the mob boss. The Russian mob boss on Arrow right now. He was also in Stargate SG-1. Plus, former wrestlers for the WWE/WWF. Demolition is going to be there. Plus, former Red Ranger from the second Red Ranger. I got to check. The person that's name is Steve Cardenas. Plus, speaking of Power Rangers, Carla Perez is going to be there, and she played Rita Repulsa for several seasons on the Power Rangers, plus I think the movie as well. So come down and check her out and meet her. Plus, from Sons of Anarchy, Natalie Sky. Plus, from The Walking Dead, this past season, I think it's season 7 that was just came out. She was on, made it midway through before being bumped off. That is Anne Mahoney. Plus, artist from Marvel and DC. For those who've watched our unboxing videos, if you noticed the page art or the artwork that's in essence to my right, that's hanging on the wall, it's this particular artist art. Artist, and that artist is Mark McKenna. Wonderful guy. Nice guy. He's going to have some con-exclusive artwork just for the show. So this should be extremely wonderful. So just look up Four State Comic Con on Facebook to keep yourself updated in reference to who's going to be there and what's going to happen. Maybe we'll get Matt on the show, have a brief little interview with Matt, so he can tell us what's going on. Maybe we'll twist his arm to see what kind of panels might be going on in September. Maybe we'll twist his arm and do another panel for that particular show. Maybe another two panels. Who knows? But as always, I am the Reverend Godfather. If you want to contact us about anything I said in today's episode or this week's episode, or if you want to weigh in about the verses that we had in last episode, which was the King Kong versus Predator, you could always do so by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or you can message us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And to get yourself caught up with all our episodes, you could just go to our website and listen to anything you want, from our very first episode to our current episode, which would be this one, at thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Or if you want, you could go to iTunes or whatever podcasting app iTunes is calling it now, or whatever podcasting app you're using, and download our show, or Google Play Music, or Stitcher Radio. And we're also on Twitter at Long Coat Mafia, and we're on Instagram as well, and our handle there is Long Coat Mafia. We hope that you had a great Easter. If you're listening, well, this will be posted up after Easter, so we do hope that you had a great Easter, if you do celebrate that. If not, we hope you had a great week and or weekend, whatever the case may be. And as a couple of friends have stated before, pot on, and we'll see you next week.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on, it's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.